You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. I get the distinct honor and privilege of running this ship along with my co-captain, the effervescent chef Ellie Lawton, culinary genius, star of screen and radio.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it might as well be something. I don't know.
I want to be a chef on a boat.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be stuck on a boat, you might as well have good food to eat.
That's what I'm saying.
She wouldn't be able to eat anything, though. She's allergic to half that stuff.
You know what? That's what an EpiPen's for. I just start my day instead of coffee, EpiPen.
I have a question. You co-host a radio show, and you are a certified French culinarian, a chef, and you are allergic to a lot of food. That has got to be like...
Okay, it's not a lot. I don't know why people freak out about it. They're like, oh, you're allergic to everything. How do you eat? Well, I'm clearly well-fed.
I mean, I'll join the club.
I have two food allergies that I know of. Seafood, and strawberries.
What type of seafood?
Usually shellfish.
Okay. Well, I guess.
That's not so bad.
I was trying to make a shellfish
joke. Also have a seafood problem.
And I eat it. Yes. I've heard
you
that
have a
one.
Fitness problem?
That's
fitting
the diet.
Food
I'm
in
on.
Your gut?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's the diet I'm on.
Yes. Yeah, so everyone can relax. I can eat a lot of food. I am well nourished.
Well,
no
you,
problem.
But you cook seafood still.
Certainly do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing about culinary school, they teach you how to cook it.
Do you have to worry about touching it?
Yeah, I have to wear gloves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can get whatever, the iodine or whatever, through your fingers.
In culinary school, when we did a semester on seafood, we'd have like 8 hours a day in the kitchen. And I would start to feel sick by the end of the day just because we were handling seafood all day long with gloves on.
Ooh, okay. Now, what happens to you when you get exposed to this stuff?
Why do you...
I'm curious.
Plotting my death or something?
I'm not plotting your demise, if that's what you're curious
about. Usually, like, hives and, I don't know, tongue itches, throat itches, closes, and then I die. Mm-hmm.
So you could get, like, an anaphylactic reaction.
My wife has the same issue with scallops.
Oh, okay.
She can eat any other kind of shellfish, seafood, but scallops, put her over the edge. Got to carry an EpiPen because you never know especially if you're going out, if they cook scallops in with the other things.
Yes. Yeah, so I have a friend like that, and it's just shrimp. Can eat everything else, just not shrimp. And I go to restaurants, and they'll put, like, I'll have something that's prepared near the seafood, and that's fine. I have to, like, actually ingest the piece of seafood.
There's people that, well, even in beef tallow or something, that if it's fish is fried in there and then they have chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Or everything else. So
there's some people
the
who can't be in the room with certain allergies. Yeah. Some peanut allergies and nut allergies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're hearing a lot of golden tones right now from other people, and that is because we have assembled an all-star cast today on Raised in the Woods. And I want to say I am really excited about Civic Media and their expansion. We are being heard. This show is being heard in 5 states, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa. Now, we're in the heart of the heartland in Wisconsin, and we have got an all-star cast, of course, certified chef Ellie Lawton. We have an official sommelier along. An official sommelier.
She's not allergic to any wine.
The proof is in the glass. Megan the Salad Bar Salazar is our official contributor and sommelier for the show, the Raised in the Woods officials. Now, I don't think many radio shows have an official sommelier.
I don't know of any.
I know of one.
Well,
and
of
you're
course.
Listening to it, folks. And then, of course, we've got Mike the Meat Man Kretschmer, who's here. He works for Nye's and brings us all of the secrets about meat, from everything from the wild game we talk about and the wonderful outdoors of the Midwest and how to take it to your table in accordance with our tips from Chef Lawton, of course. And today we've got a very special guest. I'm excited about this because we have a fantastic array of things to talk about today, up to and including something the entire Midwest is contemplating, and that is whether sandhill cranes should be on a species of huntable animals in the Midwest, and there that is being contemplated in many states across the country right now. Of course,
and there's many states that are already hunting them.
Yes, more than a dozen. Yeah, successfully hunting them.
And there's several provinces coming on board that will be hunting them.
In Canada.
Oh, yes, I can't wait to get more into this.
That sounds very interesting. Exciting. Brad Heidel is the executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. Dare I say, I think the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association is probably the most active waterfowl group in Wisconsin and very active in the Midwest. And I do have to throw in the disclaimer that I get to do government affairs for them, which is a blast. And we really dig into some things, Brad, don't we? I mean, and this past session, legislatures are wrapping up throughout the Midwest, throughout the country.
Yep.
We're having the spring elections are upon us. But we had one hell of a last session with the debate, the education, the fortuitousness of the sandhill crane issue. How huge of an issue is that actually in Wisconsin and for the Midwest?
You know, certainly for Wisconsin, it's a big issue. And like you said, this session, we literally got to see how the sausage was made, right?
Mike knows how the sausage is made.
He made a gesture to Mike, for those of you who couldn't see it.
Yes, and sometimes making sausage is ugly, isn't it?
Absolutely, and dirty.
Yes, however, we came a long way this session, and there were a lot of people involved, a lot of different organizations involved. We can talk a little bit more about the shortfalls, if you will. I don't know how you want to get into this or if you want to start talking about that right away. But literally, we worked really hard this session. We had a camo day at the Capitol in which a lot of folks showed up from all over the state and not just from Wisconsin Waterfowl Association to talk to legislators firsthand. And it was very interesting to see how interested those legislators were to actually have people come into their offices and physically have conversations with them about the issues that were important to them. Now, we talked about two different issues at the time. We were talking about our Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund here in the state. But for Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, we were very excited to get in front of those people and talk to them about the possibility of having a responsible sandhill crane hunt here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that. We're going to go do our Wild of the Week before that, but we're going to get into that, and I'm going to tell you a very personal story about that because this issue is very personal to me. Because of my history with the sandhill crane issue, and we're going to talk about all that. But first, this is one of the greatest times of the year in the Midwest. The weather's starting to break. There's not much snow on the ground anymore. The turkeys are everywhere.
They're right outside your window.
They are outside the studio window.
We're watching them strut
right
now.
Yes, they are right outside the fishbowl. There's no doubt about it. And I'm seeing more waterfowl, deer, wildlife in the spring. Be careful out there driving because they are running rampant across the roads. But I'm going to start with my wild of the week, which has to be turkey scouting. It really cannot be anything other than that because I honest to God love turkey scouting as much as I love actually hunting turkeys, finding them, watching them, seeing the social way they interact. And if you think because you see three or four toms all hanging out together that they're buddies, you are sorely mistaken. They are not friends.
So what are you seeing right now? Because it's kind of the beginning of things. I think the youth hunt happened already.
Yep.
Yes, right? And the mentor hunt.
And the mentor.
And the mentored hunt, which Brad Heidel's going to talk about because I believe he had quite a bit of success on that.
We did.
Yeah, so what are you seeing while you're scouting?
What I'm seeing right now, which you tend to see early in the breeding season for turkeys, is dozens of them all together still. Mm-hmm. They've not really broken apart. This is the time the dominant toms will establish their dominance. They're fighting for that dominance. And they're going to, so they will start to break away. And frankly, they're the ones who breed the hens first and the most. And I'm not necessarily a dominant tom hunter. I like hunting the toms that are less dominant. And those are the ones that go off on their own and they're callable and they're looking for the straggler hens that are out there to breed with. So that's the way I look at it. But right now, the first season's coming up here in many states. The seasons are underway and it's just a great time to be in the outdoors. Brad, you got a wild of the week. Have you been outside this past week at all?
Absolutely. I have. And we're going to go down the duck road here, obviously.
Ooh, let's hear it.
But my wild of the week is we have got a significant migration coming through the state of Wisconsin right now. Mm-hmm. And we've seen mallards come in. We've seen geese come in. But I can tell you this, that right now the diver ducks are moving through the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, yes.
You'll see
yes.
these beautiful white drake birds on a lot of the small mm-hmm. ponds. Mm-hmm. Green Bay is full of divers right now.
Does that bode well for the fall?
Absolutely.
Okay. The more what ducks you see in the spring translates to the fall.
Absolutely. The more ducks we have going north in the spring, those ducks are breeding. And they're going to bring back their juveniles every fall.
I've seen some really beautiful full plume woodies in the yes. little potholes in the field.
Yes.
Like, take my eyes off the road. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I would love to just shoot one in the spring for the wall.
We should put something
trophy
together.
Hunt.
Yes. Absolutely.
Waterfall trophy hunt.
Well, you do
one.
Have the executive director of the WWE and the government affairs guy. So
let's go.
We'd have to start working at the state level, but they'd have to change some federal regulations.
I guess that would be the first
Do step. You have a wild of the week, Mike?
Yeah, I'm actually with work. We have the Wisconsin meat producers show, so I'm working on some fun items for work, even though it's both. You know, it's work and fun for me.
Heck yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out, and then... I'm excited to get out fishing. The rivers
Ooh,
are
yes.
walleye fishing, the rivers, Green
time.
Bay, and then the smallies follow up with that. And yeah, so I'm excited for a little bit of that.
I'm excited awesome for you well. To take us all fishing.
Let's go.
Chef Lawton, what's your wild of the week?
Well, mine wasn't really outside. I had to go outside to get the package, so it was a little wild there. My alligator boots from Texas arrived.
What?
So my gator that I harvested, I sent the hide to Texas and got custom boots made, and they just arrived, and I'm so excited.
How do they look?
They're so beautiful. They're better than I thought they were going to be, and now I just want to go get some more gators because, number one, I'm almost out of gator meat. And number two, now I need a pair of those boots in every single color.
Damn, that's a tough wild of the week to beat. I don't know. Megan Salazar, can you beat that one?
No, I can't. I can't.
She's got cool stuff, though.
I did do
you
some
do cool stuff,
stuff
yeah. every week.
I did. I went to Kansas. I did a European tower hunt. We dressed up in all our European hunting clothes.
See, how cool is that?
And did a tower hunt. And then I competed in the National Bird Dog Championship again.
That's so cool.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds amazing. And I can speak from first-hand experience that Megan has fantastic European hunting clothing because we did have the pleasure of hunting together in Scotland and Ireland. And I got to be honest, I love dressing in European hunting clothing too.
So much
it's
fun.
It's so cool and proper and it just looks so cool. I mean, I don't know if it would fly here, but I do love just the drabs and the boots and the...
We did get some looks.
And the goofy hats. Did you?
Oh, yeah. People are like, what? Because we still have to wear blaze orange here. So I had to find orange hats and like an orange vest and sweater and stuff.
An orange beret.
Yeah.
Not a raspberry beret. A tangerine beret. Oh, my gosh. We got so much coming up, including... I'm excited about the recipe of the week. We love talking food on this show, too. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is Raised in the Woods. I'm Joel Clayfish, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great Midwest. What an awesome show we have. We've got co-host Ellie Lawton, the culinarian. We've got Megan Salazar along, Mike Kretschmer, and the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association Executive Director, Brad Heidel. We talked about what amazing things are happening throughout the Midwest right now.
This show is called Wings and Things.
Wings and Things. That would be a great name for a show.
Yeah.
A waterfowl show.
What can be this show?
And I'm pretty excited because the Fowl Life, which is the number one waterfowl show, television show in the world, which I have the pleasure of being a part of, is coming to Wisconsin. We have a relationship with Travel Wisconsin, and we are going to turkey hunt this spring. So I'm really excited about that because that is going to be fun. I hope we can actually get some turkeys down. Brad Heidel has experienced the cameras and the Fowl Life coming. We hunted with him on a great successful turkey hunt in one of the zones here in Wisconsin. But one of the things we talked about that I want to get into and dig into with you here, Brad, is the possibility for hunting sandhill cranes in Wisconsin. And folks, I want to tell you, this is a very personal issue for me. As many of you know who listen to the show, I was a legislator, a member of the Wisconsin House of Representatives for 14 years. About 15 years ago, I authored a bill to allow a sandhill crane hunt. And at the time, I was metaphorically crucified for it. It didn't get out of the gate.
You were too, literally.
Yes, I was. It didn't get a hearing. It didn't go anywhere. And other states were starting to allow sandhill crane hunts. And I got what I consider to be a second chance in that issue. I got to work for government affairs for the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, and we had a chance this last session to present the sandhill crane issue. And Brad, and I want to tell you out there right now, you can't kill sandhill cranes in Wisconsin unless you get a depredation permit. Mm-hmm. And if you do get a depredation permit, according to the federal permit, you have to kill that crane and leave it rot in the field, which I think is abhorrent and unethical.
Every time I hear it, it makes my skin crawl.
It's terrible. They're killing over 1,400 cranes a year as part of a deprivation hunt.
Can you imagine all that beautiful meat that's going to waste?
It's an absolute shame, not to mention the carcasses, which people use the feathers.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just a shame.
And it's a revenue. I mean, I would pay to go shoot one.
Well,
even
anybody,
like turkeys, right? You start with one, and then if we go up from there.
I think every true hunter in Wisconsin would love the opportunity, and we understand that it will cost some personal money to do that, and we have no problem with that. But I'm going to tell you, this last session, we really changed the dynamic of this issue in Wisconsin. And Brad, you know, thanks to you and your organization, and regular folks who want to see these animals put to use, number one, if they're killed, and number two, keep them in a healthy population check, too.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And I'll also throw a thank you out there to the work that you did, Joel, and to the work that one of our great board members did as a volunteer, George Emmert. You know, without you two guys, we couldn't have got as far as we did. We also had some great support from our friends at Delta Waterfowl. Yep. Also, Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, Ducks Unlimited, Safari Club. Absolutely. There were a lot of groups behind this. And this is the first time that it actually went through the assembly and passed. And that's a step in the right direction.
That's huge. Yes. I mean, for us to have, we got through the assembly. So it went through committees in the Senate and the assembly. It passed both houses and got a vote on the assembly floor and passed on a voice vote with only one person registering as a no vote on it, which
That's
is incredible.
Yep.
And I think for those who don't necessarily understand this issue completely, getting it to that point in one effort, in one major effort, one term is an incredible advancement.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you to talk about the timeline because it was all relatively very fast.
Yes, well, we worked on it so hard and we had so many people, you know, educating. I think the biggest difference this time around was education, don't you think, Brad?
I really do, and I really think it started out with the committee that we put together early on to get all the interested parties in one room to have a discussion about this hunt. And that included people who were against sandhill crane hunting as well, right? We had the International Crane Foundation was part of that committee who got together to actually put this bill in place and to help move it forward.
And I think a lot of that had to do with just the people who are serious hunters or tangentially involved, you know, with organizations who literally got up, you know, took a shower, got dressed, and went to the Capitol. Megan Salazar, you were at the Capitol working on this. What? Talk to me from a kind of you're not an outsider by any stretch, but you work with these organizations, but you are a real and true hunter.
Yeah.
What was that experience like going to the Capitol and talking to the folks about it, whose mind you have to maybe not
open
change,
up.
But open up.
Open
sure.
up.
Great
yeah.
way to
I
say
I think
it.
Opening up their mind on certain things definitely helps. You know, and I think it helps bringing in people that they don't normally see. They always see people that look like you, Joel, and you, Brad. No offense to you guys.
We have that many handsome people.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
goodness.
But no, I mean, if you go back and look at it, the majority of the people that are lobbying for this are typical white middle-aged man, right?
Right.
And so I think bringing in more people, like Ellie went to the Capitol that day.
Yeah, a couple yeah. times.
Mm-hmm. I think that helps open up their eyes to seeing, like, it's not just we want to go out and kill cranes.
It's right. a yeah, it's a cross
There's
section.
There's a purpose.
A cross section of outdoors folks who yeah. actually really support this.
And to the research was presented. You know, there was actual
the science
and
presented.
Research presented.
Yeah, we're going
to
talk.
Which we need to get into a little bit.
We're definitely going to talk about some of the science of it. And I don't think we can overtalk this and that this can be a boring topic, because in all reality, hunting sandhill cranes is really a microcosmic look at any species that has a healthy population and should be hunted. This is Raised in the Woods. This is Raised in the Woods. Everything about the great outdoors of the Midwest can be found on this show. We also talk about food every single time. Can't get away from that. Very excited. We're going to outline some of our favorite spots as the summer approaches.
Ooh, yes.
And we've got, I believe, a fairly exciting recipe from Meat Man Mike Kretschmer today.
We're going to put him on the spot.
We're going to put him on the spot. And
he's rolling his eyes.
Fair enough.
And this is a recipe you can use wild game or store purchased meat from.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I'm excited
that.
About that. We are diving in to the sandhill crane issue. I think the hunting of sandhill cranes is kind of like the hunting of every other species that we've come to hunt. At first, you know, there are reservations about it. There are organizations, you know, there are people who oppose it. And then the real difference, the tiebreaker in my mind for those who make the decisions on this, the legislators, is the science, is the education. And the reality of it is Wisconsin now has a very huntable population of sandhill cranes.
And then some.
And the agriculture community is suffering millions of dollars of damage.
Yeah, fields are being destroyed.
Yes, before the plant even grows.
Yes.
Well, it's not just Wisconsin, though, either. I mean, all our cranes are migrating south, so they're going through Illinois and Iowa, too, affecting mm-hmm. those states as well.
That's right. And healthy, and let's be honest, if you love a species, and I don't know a true ethical hunter who doesn't love species of animals.
Mm-hmm.
We care about animals. We care about their populations. And any population that grows too much can face having disease or starvation or malnutrition. And right now, we're at the precipice of needing some control or some population reduction in sandhill cranes. And Brad, who's along here, Brad Heidel, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, we came to the legislature this time with real information about the science of why there should be a hunting season. Not only the emotional argument that right now you can kill one but have to leave it to rot according to federal law, which I think is abhorrent,
yeah.
but the science to which says there should be a season on these things.
Yeah, and when you look at the science, you know, we look at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as the people who are in charge of our migratory birds, right?
Right.
Whether they're songbirds or whether they're game birds, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are the scientists who know these species the best. So when we go to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and we have a conversation with them, they have a population goal set for the state of Wisconsin of 30,000 birds, right?
Okay.
And those are breeding birds. We have our breeding state here in the state of Wisconsin. However, we currently have well over 60,000 birds who live in the state of Wisconsin now. That's more than twice the population goal. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at those birds here in the springtime, when farmers are putting in their crops, whether they're potatoes, whether they're cranberries, whether they're corn, beans, etc., these sandhill cranes right now are just going down rows and like a little sewing machine, yeah, going
boop, whole rows just boop, gone,
and picking those little sprouts out of the ground as they're growing, and they'll wipe out a crop pretty darn quick. So not only do we owe it to our farmers to help them out, we also owe it to the crane population as well, because right now those cranes, literally, we talked about before, 1,400 of them are getting killed and not being used. Well, let's let the hunters take those same 1,400 cranes and use them.
Right.
And have also have, make no mistake about it, I'm not just here to help out the farmers. We also want to have the wonderful experience of being in the field and be among these wonderful birds. We really do. It's not just...
And the 1,400 isn't doing any population control. That's going to make a difference.
It is and it isn't, because we get that argument as well. Well, what's that going to do? Well, if there's 1,400 less cranes coming back in the spring, that's 1,400 less cranes that are going to be in the fields.
Of course.
Doing that damage.
It just doesn't seem like it makes that big of a difference when you're talking beyond double of what the population number that was set.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, but you have to start somewhere.
You do.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
So,
and to your point, Joel, I would rather have the 1,400 birds that are sitting in the field rotting now be at least be able to be used. I mean, how do we thank our harvest as hunters? How do we thank our harvest? By making sure that animal is properly cared for beyond the harvest, right? We're not doing that. We're doing a disservice to those animals sitting there and rotting. And the farmers, they can't even harvest these animals and use the meat. They have to watch them sit out there and rot in their fields.
Yes.
Come on. How difficult, right?
No, it's a no-brainer.
Most farmers are hunters. Can you imagine being a hunter and shooting that beautiful bird and watching it rot in your field for days and know that you can't even use it? I mean, come on.
In fact, I would say it. I would be a lawbreaker if I were hunting. If I were shooting cranes on depredation permits, I would be a lawbreaker. I could not let it sit there.
Yeah.
It is not within my ethical character to kill a crane and let it rot in a field. You know, taking animals from the field to the table is incredibly important.
I was just going to say, like, any animal for that matter.
Any animal.
Yep. I mean, I don't, you had a squirrel on the road and you want to get out and get it because you feel terrible,
I mean,
right?
We went to a coon feed not too super long ago that actually surprised me.
Was it barbecued?
No, it was roasted.
It was absolutely delicious.
It was crazy good.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, as a person who enjoys culinary as much as I do, I get as much joy out of eating a harvested animal as I do out of the harvesting of it, you know, the hunting of it. But the hunting experience is prurient. It is, you know, primordial. It is what we as human beings do to supply our families with food. And I think there is an ethical responsibility that you learn when you hunt and harvest your own food versus going and picking it up in cellophane at a grocery store. And so this all plays into it. But this is nothing... What we're seeing here, the reluctance, is nothing new. We hunt doves in Wisconsin.
It's an emotional situation is what we're dealing with. And, you know, we have a lot of people in here that feel we have mystical creatures flying amongst us. And we do have really wonderful creatures flying amongst us.
Certainly.
But they're also, it's time for us to have a responsible hunt as well.
Yeah.
I want to go back to... Can you wrap back around and talk about where you guys ended again?
That's what I was just gonna ask.
Because this ended further than it ever has. And you talk about there's, you know, people that are against it. Of course, there's people against hunting all species, right?
Yep.
But you guys got so close this time around. I mean, you're talking about one vote.
Yes.
And we are talking about one.
That's incredible.
That was the difference?
Yes. Yeah, one. That was the difference.
That's impressive. Yes.
So to spotlight that for a moment, I mean, that's huge.
You bringing that up actually just, it puts a pit in my stomach. Because...
Sorry about that. I have that effect on you often.
That's not the only time. We worked so hard on this. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say I lost sleep over it.
You and I both did.
Yes.
I worked those phones for the last 2 weeks so
Brad,
hard.
Brad, you were unbelievable. You reached out to farmers to have them reach out to legislators.
Well, and I have to say real quick, like Megan and I watched a lot of this from the sidelines. You know, we participated where we could. And you guys, you were working your butts off 24/7. Yeah. Yep. I mean... Anytime we were hunting throughout the last year, I mean, Megan can say this too. Joel's on his phone doing emails, you know, making calls, stepping out to attend meetings. I mean, you guys were on it 24/7 for this. So it definitely was not just a 9-to-5 hang it up kind of thing. It was all the time.
And guess what? It's not over.
Right. No. Yeah. It's not over.
That's the beauty.
We took a couple body blows, but we got this farther down the road than it's ever been before.
Yeah, which is
and
incredible.
I can tell you this, the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, the waterfowl hunters of the state of Wisconsin are more energized now than they ever have been to see this through to the end.
Yeah. Well, being in the room at the Capitol at the last event, like you could tell the energy, like you could just feel like people are pumped about this and you're not, this is not the end. That's a great point. Nope. This is not the end and the momentum's just going to keep rolling.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, when we started, we thought this is our first real go at it, basing it on education and presenting all the groups and having a coalition. And what happened was we ended up getting really, I think, further than anybody thought at the beginning.
We did.
But then we could taste it. We could literally taste it. We got it through the assembly on a
voice. What did it taste like? The ribeye of the sky.
It tasted like.
Speaking of ribeyes.
Ribeye. But we got within one vote in the Senate. We had one vote and we just couldn't turn that senator. And he's a senator who supports the outdoors and we just couldn't get him to a yes. And so we missed our opportunity by one vote. So that's the bummer. But what we're talking about is that we are on the absolute top edge of the wave right now. I have never had so many people reach out to me about this issue, excited about this issue, saying this issue has to happen. It will happen.
It will. Just like the dove hunt. It took 20 years.
Yeah, the work wasn't wasted.
Oh, no. Gosh, no. And this is kind of like climbing Everest, right? People don't realize that it's very hard on Everest to get to base camp. Base camp's halfway up the mountain, right?
Ooh, that sounds miserable.
unless there's a chamois to hunt at the top.
Or a heated pool.
Or a yeti.
But we got to base camp, and then we kept going, and we were almost to the summit. And, of course, you know, we don't know what the governor would have done ultimately, and we don't know how the legislature is going to have a makeup after the fall election. But what I can tell you is we have put ourselves and we didn't do any damage to our cause during it either.
No.
Which is a dicey thing when you're pushing legislation. You can make enemies as well as you can make friends. But I think among the Democrats and the Republicans involved, there was much, much opening of minds and hearts.
Yeah, there was so much awareness. Like, so many people.
Yeah. It was
just
really
have a better
something.
Understanding now.
You know, back to Everest, we're at Hillary's step.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Oh my gosh. Well, I want to talk about summer. Summer's coming.
Oh, yes. I cannot wait. I'm freezing.
Well,
I've been freezing since last August.
My answer to anybody who ever says they're freezing, I tell them, gain some weight then. Just gain some weight. You'll be fine. But you had a question about favorite restaurants. I like that idea.
Yeah. Well, Brad kind of sparked this, so we can thank Brad for this. But I was going to say we could go around and share what summer restaurant we are looking forward to dining at.
Well, I'm going to start with Brad because Brad's got a crowd favorite that is literally one of my favorites as well.
I do have a crowd favorite. It just happened to be opening night this evening. It's an evening we typically go, my wife and I do, and that would be the Ishnala Supper Club here in the Wisconsin. It's right on Lake Delton in the or not Lake Delton, Mirror Lake in Wisconsin Dells, and it's.
I still have never been there.
Same.
It's pretty cool. It's one of the coolest.
Also, haven't been there.
Wow.
It's also one of the coolest supper club atmospheres of anywhere throughout the state. And
we need to come back to it after the break.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're going to come back to it.
Because I have questions for Brad.
I've got good answers.
Okay,
and
good.
I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to tease this by saying my favorite summertime restaurant is also my favorite wintertime restaurant, and it is south of the border with our friends in Illinois. So, but I'm going to tell you that
wonderful.
It is definitely worth the trip. And Mike Kretschmer, you said you're going to be in Beloit later. Is it worth the trip from Beloit there? The answer is definitely yes. Come back with us on Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Raised in the Woods, the outdoor show that brings you everything from laughter to joy to sorrow. Not sorrow that much, I guess. Probably not that much.
Sometimes I can bring a little sorrow.
My name's Joel Clayfish. I host the show along with co-host Ellie Lawton, the culinarian, who certainly brings humor. And sometimes you make fun of me, too.
Well, sometimes you deserve it.
sometimes.
Joel, you make it so easy.
Yes, I think you all do once in a while. That's all right. I don't mind. Hey,
you're an easy target, like an elephant in the sky.
What?
That's almost like a dad on there.
Whoa. Can that be my dad joke?
That can be your dad joke. That's
that counts?
Good one. That definitely counts.
I'm not saying you're an elephant.
Well, I'll never forget that one.
Elephants don't forget.
That's right. Oh, we're talking about awesome places to eat as summer approaches, and then we're going to do our recipe of the week. We've got Brad Heidel here from the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, Mike the Meat Man, Kretschmer, Megan Salazar, and like I said, I'm Joel Clayfish, and I'm going south of the border for my favorite place to eat. Summer, winter, spring, or fall, Uncle Nick's Euros in downtown Rockford, Illinois is so unbelievably good. I think it landed as my restaurant because right now I'm just really craving Uncle Nick's. I could go for that.
Euro sounds good.
Euro.
Well,
Euro.
We need to take a step back,
sauce.
Though.
Yeah.
Because Brad wasn't done talking about Ishnala.
That's right. He was
I
talking
need
about
to know,
Ishnala.
Brad.
And the beautiful Wisconsin Dells.
Yes. I need to know, how do you get into that place? Because I've tried a couple times and I just don't know how you do it.
You know what? I can tell you what my wife and I do. We go and we sit at the bar and we have some cocktails. Mm-hmm. We've got Kevin, our favorite bartender there, who makes us running buffaloes.
So we need to ask for Kevin.
For Kevin. He makes a running buffalo. It's absolutely fabulous.
Wow.
And we'll sit at the bar and we'll have appetizers. And one of my favorites is their escargot, and they cover it in blue cheese.
That sounds
over
so
the top.
Wonderful.
That sounds fantastic.
Wow.
That sounds great.
Yes.
I'm going.
Where are you going, Mike?
North.
North.
Let's
to
hear
the Sommeliers area.
Okay.
Door County.
Door
County, Wisconsin.
Yes,
Donnie's Glidden, right on the water.
I've heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I'm not.
I'm telling
it.
You, I mean, as you can't see us at home, but the Lake Michigan is, you can eat where I'm sitting, and 3.5 to 4 feet away is Lake Michigan. There's
so
like
do you have
a
line in while you eat?
Yes, you just can look out over the whole lake. It is
so
beautiful. The food is excellent.
And you can zip right across from our listeners in Michigan to Donnie's Glidden.
What town?
It's east of Sturgeon Bay.
Fish so, Creek.
Yeah, it's well, that's a little south.
North. Okay.
It's not too don't far know. Up in the door.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been to Door County one time.
I lived there.
I used to see it from my house.
I lived in Egg Harbor.
Oh, okay. That sounds fun.
Winters are very quiet
in Door County. They are. Megan Salazar, what kind of restaurant are you talking about?
I'm going with a concept here, and that's the Pizza Farm.
Oh, yes.
What is the pizza farm?
So a pizza farm is a farm where you can go and you get wood-fired pizzas, and all the ingredients come from the different farms surrounding the farm that you're so getting the pizza at. So you have a little picnic and pizza, and sometimes they have movies and stuff.
Yeah, and they change locations. Gosh, like some of them are like moving around, but others have like a stationary spot.
Right, and I just happened to look, and there are pizza farms in Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, and they all seem to like go around like the Mississippi River Bluff area.
That's so wonderful.
That's cool. Yeah. You know what you could do? You could have a spring hunt and hunt turkeys and make turkey sausage, and then you could harvest morel mushrooms or mushrooms in the springtime and have your own pizza farm at your house in your backyard.
You could.
Have you ever had morels on a pizza before?
Absolutely.
It's got to be delicious.
It's so good.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Chef Lawton, what do you got for a restaurant?
I can't believe one of you guys didn't say this. I'm going dessert. I hit up Leduc's a lot in the summer.
Ah, the frozen custard
of the
Midwest.
We go in the wintertime, too.
Well, I know, but it's so nice. When you go there at night, you can sit outside, watch the stars. You can have your amazing custard. I like to get the vanilla, which I know sounds boring, but I take a little olive oil and sea salt with me and doctor it up in the parking lot, and it's fantastic.
A little bourbon?
Yeah.
There are in Minnesota, Wisconsin, everywhere. Even North Dakota, when I go out in the fall, there's so many little drive-in ice cream spots
that open up in the summer. You guys, we are so blessed with like our little custard shops and stuff. Man, they're so good. Yeah, so Leduc's is mine.
Yeah, that sounds great. It's Meat Man Mike's turn.
All right,
he's on the spot.
Mike,
what's our recipe of the week?
So thinking outside the box to your point of like with desserts, I'm going a new brat. And you got kind of think outside the box a little bit on this one instead of the traditional.
Outside
like,
the bun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. and bacon and blue cheese. I'm going making a new brat with toasted coconut, pineapple, and dried mango in the brat. And then the seasoning is like a Hawaiian seasoning. So it's got heat, a little bit of sweet, and a fresh fruit taste to it. So like when you're making brats with wild game or anything, even all pork, Brad and I were just talking about it. Mm-hmm. You can do some pretty fun stuff. I know people have put gummy bears, cherry Kool-Aid flavoring into brats, and they're just all kinds of different stuff.
Well, you're tropical. What's the name of your tropical brat?
I'm calling it the Tropical Thunder.
So. And you could eat it while watching the movie Tropical Thunder.
So I am envisioning that brat on like a Hawaiian roll with mango salsa on it. Because that sounds amazing.
Either mango salsa or that Hawaiian coleslaw that they make.
Oh,
That stuff is delicious.
I like
with a little bit of that
lihi
moi powder.
Oh, my gosh. And then put a pile of fries on top of that puppy.
I might do that for a special at the restaurant. I like that idea.
Let us know what day.
Come on up and then get your raw beef.
Yes. Ooh, yes. Gosh, I'm hungry now.
Gosh, I love the fact that we end the show with food every time, although it does make me extremely hungry. Hey, folks, we love you listening. Our listenership is growing and growing by states and stations. You can hear us on civicmedia.com if you miss it live on Saturdays at 11 o'clock, or you can catch us on Spotify and
Apple.
And Apple Podcasts as well. We love having you along. Let us know what you think or what you want to hear about on the show. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Ellie Lawton. This is Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.